Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And also a quick reminder, we do have a Patreon where Riley and I do a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket. You have access to that exclusively on Patreon at the $5 tier, which also gives you early Monday releases and all ad-free content. So check it out.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, parental abandonment, mentions of domestic abuse.
Review time.
I'm trying to come up with a new and fun way to say review every time. So
I love it.
Thank you.
This one is from Emmy Cox. It says, love. So glad I came across this podcast. I love every episode. Such a lovely group of friends that clearly have a lot of fun making the podcast together. Love all the book choices. Excited to see what's next.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emmy.
We're excited too.
Yeah, we are.
And today's book is Birthday Girl by Penelope Douglas. And how many stars did you give it on Goodreads, Jenna?
I gave it 3.5.
Okay.
Oh.
I gave it a 4.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But contemporary is not either of your jams.
No.
You guys are like fantasy monster girlies.
There was one thing that was just really annoying me that if it didn't happen, I honestly would have gave it a 4-star because I did like the book, but the main male character, Pike, he just kept saying this one thing and it was really fucking annoying me.
Is it a spoiler?
It's not really a spoiler. He kept calling the female main character, Jordan, he kept calling her little girl over and over and over.
Ew.
Repeatedly again. Like, he kept calling her girl. Yeah. And little girl. Like, it was fucking annoying.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
He kept being like, you're a child. You're a girl. You're a girl. You're a child.
That's true. He did do
and
that.
And was he fucking her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was annoying.
Bitch.
Like, I get that it's a taboo book, and, like, I love that. I literally love that, but, like...
Oh, it's a taboo!
Uh-huh.
But stop saying it 20 times. We get it.
She's a child. So the book starts off in our female main character's point of view. Her name is Jordan, and it's her 19th birthday, and she just finished up her shift at the dive bar that she works at. She was supposed to get off at 2 a.m., but her boss, Shell, sent her home early because it was slow, and she can't get a hold of her boyfriend, who's supposed to be giving her a ride home, and she's nervous that he either fell asleep or he's drunk and she's going to be shit out of luck.
Which, like, that's not a very dependable boyfriend.
No. If he's either asleep or drunk.
Mm-mm. And he's, like, supposed to be picking her up from work.
That tells you he's done it before.
There's a showing of Poltergeist at an old theater next door, and it's a midnight showing. So she is off early at midnight instead of 2 a.m. And before she leaves, Shell gives her her birthday present, which is a box of red wine and some donuts, and tells her happy birthday and to be safe walking over to the theater. When she gets there, she takes her seat near the top, and there's only, like, 15 other people there, and she accidentally drops both her phone and her wine, and the wine spills down underneath all of the seats, and her phone slides a few rows down, and she has no way of finding it because there's no light in the theater, and obviously the only flashlight she'd have is her phone.
That's my nightmare.
So she starts climbing underneath the seats, searching for it, and she gets her hands all sticky with the wine.
Blech.
I would leave.
No. I would say, turn the lights on! I need my phone!
As she's crawling on the floor, she runs into some muscular legs, and she looks up to see a handsome older man asking her what she's doing, so she explains that she lost her phone. The man turns the flashlight on his phone and shines it underneath the seats for her, and she sees her phone underneath the seat next to him. She thanks him and grabs grabs it, and when she stands up, she sees her ex-boyfriend walking in with another girl, so she panics and just sits next to this older man. They have a little bit of cute banter, and when she's like, I'm not single, he's like, don't worry, you're too old for me anyway, which is obviously a joke because he's at least mid-30s and she's 19.
I was about to say, disgusting.
He was just kidding.
Sorry, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay?
No, don't turn 25, you're so sexy.
Ew. I'm so mad that that's like Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
I know. It's so
I think he's mad about it too.
He should be. She tells him about how much she loves everything from the 80s, which is why she's here at the theater. She loves the music, the movies, the style, everything, which I think is so weird.
Do you?
She's 19, so she was born in 2000 something, and she's like, I love the 80s.
I guess, yeah. I mean, there's people I know that's like our age that are like obsessed with the 70s. And I'm like, you're born in 95.
I mean, Fleetwood Mac's cool. So like, I guess I get it.
I do fuck with Fleetwood Mac.
I love Fleetwood Mac, but like, that's all I know.
But I get it. Okay,
this is like her whole personality. It's like the only thing she likes is like stuff from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
He tells her she's cute, but weird, and even takes one of her donuts, and he lights a match, giving it to her, and makes her, like, this makeshift birthday cake, which was pretty cute.
That is cute. Mm-hmm.
She stays next to him for the whole movie and even forgets that her ex-boyfriend is a few rows behind her because of how easily she's spending time with this man. And he even catches her checking him out in the middle of the movie, which he's kind of embarrassed about. You should be. Like, he's just watching the screen, and then she's just, like, staring at his chiseled jaw, and he looks over, and he's like, what are you looking at?
Ew.
Daddy. When the movie's over, they walk out together, and he tells her that there's a screening of Poltergeist in a couple of weeks, and he'll be there if she plans on showing up. And she's thinking to herself, like, is he telling me that he's going to be there so I show up? Should I go? I don't know. Is this, like, a date? He's trying to meet up with me.
He's trying to meet up with you, girl.
Her phone rings, and she answers it, but there's no voice on the other end, even though the caller ID says it's Cole, which is her boyfriend. So she says his name louder and louder and louder. Like, she's like, Cole, Cole, Cole. And then the man looks at her with a weird look on his face.
Your boyfriend's name is Cole, the man from the theater asks. Cole Lawson. I turn around to see him slowly walking back toward me. Yeah, I say, you know him? God damn it. He hesitates for a moment as if coming to terms with something, and then he holds out his hand, finally introducing himself. I'm Pike. Pike Lawson. Lawson? He pauses a moment, then adds, his father. It's just like, what is the one?
Your dad will do?
Yeah.
Do you think his dad will do?
I think he might.
He will.
Jordan is confused because Cole has talked about his father in passing, but they're not very close. But his dad is like, Cole's calling me now, and that means that he's probably in trouble. And he says, let me bring you to the police station because I assume that's where he is. So Cole only calls his dad when he needs something.
Oh, piece of shit boyfriend. Get with his dad.
Apparently, Cole got arrested that night because he'd tried to throw Jordan a surprise party, but his friends got too rambunctious before she even showed up, and a fight broke out, which resulted in him getting arrested and then both of them getting evicted from their apartment.
Piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. So now they're going to be staying with his dad.
Daddy Lawson.
Jordan's used to this kind of stuff happening with Cole, but she puts up with it because before they started dating, they were best friends and they've known each other for a long time. So she does try and give him a lot of grace because she sees the potential in him.
I can fix him.
Cole's dad, whose name is Pike, isn't home when they move in. And the deal is that they cook a few meals a week and keep up with the yard work and some of the chores, and they don't have to pay rent. And then they can stay there until they get on their feet again. And Jordan knows that all of the saving is going to come down on her because of how irresponsible Cole is.
Such a burden.
I know. She's making burgers in the kitchen when her sister walks in, and she starts asking Jordan if she thinks staying with Cole's dad is a good idea, and she says, yeah, look around. We're in a nice neighborhood. We have a pool. We don't have to pay rent. This is a good thing. And she thinks to herself, so what if she thought his dad was cute? She also thinks Chris Hemsworth is cute, and she didn't have any sexual thoughts about Pike, so it doesn't have to be awkward.
Yeah.
And then we learn that her sister is a single mom who works hard as a dancer to provide for her son. Her sister's name is Cam, and Cam's boss even offered Jordan a job bartending at the strip club that she works at. And Jordan knows that it would pay really well, but she knows that it's just a gateway into dancing, and that's not really the path that she wants to take for herself. Just as she's pouring everybody some lemonade, she sees a black truck pull into the driveway, and it's the same truck that she rode into the police station. It's Pike. Daddy's home.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, Daddy.
She tells Cam that she needs to leave now because it's too soon for her to be having company over, and she doesn't want it to be awkward. And her sister's like, okay, I'll leave, but don't let some beer-bellied pervert start demanding a little extra shit from his new tenant. And when her sister turns to leave, her eyes move past Jordan and her expression changes and she sucks in a breath because Pike Lawson has just walked in and he's looking delicious.
Oh,
he's looking like a snack.
Jordan's heart is beating like a million miles a minute, and she introduces him to her sister, and he quickly looks at her and just says hi before looking back at Jordan. As she walks Cam out of the house, Cam looks at Jordan and is like, oh my God. And when Jordan goes back into the kitchen, she tells Pike that she's making dinner for the three of them, and he says good because he's starving, so that sounds great. They eat the burgers that Jordan made, and even though Pike doesn't like onions, he says it's really good, and she says when you eat cheap growing up, you find your own ways of adding a little gourmet to it. So we learn that she had kind of like a rough upbringing, and she has really pulled herself up by the bootstraps and is trying to make something of herself. Yeah. Cole grabs his plate and says he's going to go eat outside because he's working on her car. And his dad is like, no, why don't you sit down for 10 minutes? I haven't seen you in a while. And we learn that she has this old Volkswagen that's basically undrivable, and Cole is supposed to be working on it to get it running again, which is why she needed a ride home from the bar because she doesn't have a working vehicle.
Okay. And do Cole and Pike not have like... Obviously, he only calls his dad when he needs something.
Mm-hmm.
Was there like a falling out of some sort, or it's just...
We learn a little bit more about the dynamic, why things are the way that they are. There is a reason for it.
Okay.
Cole says fine, and he sits down at the table with them, and Jordan's relieved because she thinks dinner alone with Pike would be extremely awkward.
Because she wants to jump his bones.
Pike starts asking Cole questions about his plans for the future, which turns tense very quickly when Cole gets defensive, and Pike is like, well, I joined the military when I was 18, and it secured a good future for us. And Cole is like, yeah, did you do that for you? And his dad is like, well, I've had the money to bail you out of jail last time, and the time before that, and now Cole's hand is tightening on Jordan's thigh. He's just like getting really irritated by everything his dad is saying. I think because he knows that he's a fuck up.
Yeah.
Cole grabs his plate and says he's eating outside and tells Jordan she can come join him if she wants, and he'll come in and do the dishes in a little bit. It's hot outside, so she decides to stay and eat with Pike, and he apologizes for the awkward interaction between the two of them. And then Pike gets a phone call and takes it in the kitchen while doing the dishes. And Jordan is absolutely floored because she's never seen a man do the dishes without being asked. So her bar is on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a man, honey.
Honestly, that if I was in her position, I'd be like, oh, that's fucking hot.
Yeah. But it's his house. Of course he wants to keep it clean.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh my God, a man who does chores? Sploosh.
Use that Dawn dish soap.
She heads into the kitchen and starts cleaning up, and he tells her a little bit about work, and as they're talking, she starts to get glimpses of the man that she met in the theater. So at this point, she's like, since she's moved in, she's only really seen him as Cole's dad, but as they're talking, just the two of them, she's getting like a little bit of banter, and they're vibing, and she's like, oh, this is the guy that I was mm-hmm. hanging out with on my birthday. Mm-hmm. She asks him for his phone number in case there's a problem at the house or she loses a key, and he says, okay, yeah, that's a good idea, and puts his number in her phone, and then asks for hers too. As he's handing her her phone back, he accidentally hits the play button on the music app that she was listening to, and Father Figure by George Michael starts playing. You know, the one where it's like, I'll be your daddy. Pike starts laughing, and he's like, 80s music, huh? Before she leaves the kitchen, he tells her to call him Pike, not Mr. Lawson. Mr. Lawson was my father.
Better yet, call me daddy.
She looks back at him and is like, you don't have to do those dishes. Cole said he would do it. And Pike says that he was 19, and in a bit means eventually, and eventually doesn't mean tonight. So he's like, I know my son. He's not doing the dishes.
Yeah. And honestly, girl, you know him too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't get your hopes up.
I know.
She thanks him and grabs a bottle of water to take outside, but then all of a sudden asks him if he has any other kids. And Pike is like, I think Cole would have told you if he had siblings, right? Besides, I've never been married, and having multiple kids with multiple women isn't a mistake that I wanted to make. Which, like, burn on Cole.
Yeah.
My son is a mistake. I'm not doing that again. She thanks him again for letting them stay here, and he thanks her for dinner. And then there was a candle that she lit at the dinner table, and she goes over and blows it out. And she makes the same wish that she always makes when she blows out a candle, which is, let tomorrow be better than today. It's like her thing.
Oh. She always like closes her eyes and blows it like it's like a birthday candle.
That's a good wish, I guess.
Yeah. Go off, girl.
The only time that she didn't make that exact wish was at the theater when she blew the match out on the makeshift cake that Pike gave her. And we'll learn what the wish is.
Yeah.
Pike wakes up the next morning, 1 minute before his alarm, like clockwork, and he looks outside to see it's raining. And he knows it's going to set work back since he works on a construction site, so he contemplates just staying home today. But then he remembers that his son is home and is like, I don't really want to be home with him because they have a very strained relationship because of all the negative thoughts Cole's mom put in his head as a kid. So Cole's mom is very manipulative, and she was just kind of like feeding Cole all this stuff all throughout his childhood about how his dad is a piece of shit.
That's so fucked up.
And so now Cole's like, yeah, my dad's a piece of shit.
Well, guess what, Cole? You're a piece of shit.
Period.
Pike decides he wants to put in the effort of repairing their relationship and thinks to himself that at least Jordan's pretty great. He thinks back to the night when he met her and how easily they clicked, and how when he realized who she was to his son, he felt jealous because Jordan is the girl of his dreams, but she's off limits, both because of her age and because she's his son's girlfriend. Even though he wouldn't have asked her out because of how much younger she is than him. So he's like, I wouldn't have asked her out anyway, but like, a girl's hot. And my son's tapping that?
I don't believe him. Sir, I believe that you would have asked her out.
He kind of did.
Yeah. He did. So shut up, Pike.
He gets a call from Cole's mom asking for an update on their son. And he says Cole is warm, fed, and safe. But he's surprised that she's okay with him staying here with his girlfriend. And Lindsay, who's Cole's mom, says it's about time he took on some responsibility with Cole. And now Pike is irritated and asks what she wants.
She's quiet for a moment, and then I hear her smooth voice return to its teasing tone. Oh, you know what I want. And despite the disdain I feel for her now, blood still rushes to my groin, much to my displeasure. We had some fun, after all, back in the day, and my body remembers. Plus, I haven't been laid in a while, but I'm not desperate enough to be used. Not yet, anyway.
Pie.
So they have, like, a little friends with benefits situation. Like, sometimes she'll just come over and be like, let's fuck, and he's like, okay. But they hate each other.
Cole's mom?
Yeah. His mom and dad.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Got love for his baby mama.
He hates her, though.
He legitimately hates her.
His pee-pee has love.
Yeah. His pee-pee does have love for her puss. Yeah. Pike's like, do you think I'm just going to be ready to go every time you break up with a guy and get drunk and want to get laid? And she says, no matter who comes into your life or walks out of mine, there was always one thing we did really well together. And then she asks if he's seeing anybody because they've slept together in the past. And he says, yeah, it's called lack of options. So he's like, ooh. I slept with you because there was no one else around. God.
That would hurt my feelings.
I don't think she has feelings.
She's a soulless bitch.
She calls him an asshole and starts trying to seduce him with memories of their past flings and says to get over there and fuck her already. He's tempted, but says he has to go to work and hangs up on her before he can change his mind. He walks downstairs to find Jordan sitting alone at the kitchen island on her laptop wearing her tiny little sleep shorts. And he looks away as his body starts to react.
Ugh, men.
He asks why she's up so early, and she says she's a light sleeper and doesn't usually sleep through thunderstorms. He asks her to wake Cole up because he's gonna need help sandbagging stuff at the construction site because everything's like flooding. This town has horrible flood control. Flooding is a major issue in this book.
Get better infrastructure.
She goes back upstairs to go grab Cole, but he's too hungover, so Jordan heads downstairs wearing jeans and tennis shoes, and she says she'll go and help him. And when Pike tries to tell her that it might not be the safest place for her, she says if things get too crazy, she'll go stay in the truck. And he says, fine, go get in my truck. We're going to work. After about an hour, everything that needs to be sandbagged has been, but when he looks around for Jordan, he can't find her and he panics. But then he sees her helping the other guys with a smile on her face. So she's having a good time on the job, being very helpful. Good attitude, which is like the complete opposite of his kid.
Yeah.
The men are all obviously checking her out, and he gets annoyed and tells them to get back to work. Jordan comes up to Pike and is like, I didn't know you were the boss of this site. And he looks down at her body because her shirt is soaked and stuck to her skin from the rain.
Oh, no.
And he thinks to himself that he doesn't remember 19-year-olds having bodies like that when he was that age.
That's a weird thing to say/think.
They get everything as secured as they possibly can and decide to call it a day, and the drive home is very tense. So he asks Jordan if she wants to put in a tape, and she's like, a cassette tape? She opens his glove box and goes through his 80s music and gets excited when she finds a Def Leppard cassette and is stoked and tells him how fun today was. And he says, yeah, it was, and thanks her for helping him. And he says maybe next time they can all go, including Cole.
No.
Leave Cole at home.
Yeah.
Boo.
When they walk in the front door, Cole yells for Jordan to come upstairs, and Pike goes outside to work on her car, and he looks outside to see his neighbor Kyle standing on his front porch waving at him. And he's annoyed because he absolutely hates this man. He's a sleazeball who treated his wife badly and cheated on her and kept the house in the divorce while his wife and kids went to go live in an apartment.
Ew.
Yeah.
He's a sleazeball.
Pike's coworker Dutch comes over and says the guys are thinking of hitting Grounders in a bit to grab some beers. And Grounders is the bar that Jordan works at, and she has a shift later on today. Pike's like, since when do you go to Grounders? And Dutch says the guys just realized there was some eye candy working there now. And Pike tells him to shut up because that's his son's girlfriend and they need to leave her alone. And Dutch says, I'm sure she wouldn't mind a little extra business tonight. Then Cam, Jordan's sister, walks up and introduces herself. And now Dutch is checking Cam out. And she tells him that he has nice ink.
Oh, you got nice ink. Did they hurt?
I hate that.
I fucking am like, yeah, bitch, obviously.
Pike asks Cam if she works at Grounders with Jordan, and she says no, she works at The Hook. And Pike knows exactly what this place is, so he asks if Jordan works there too. Cam says no, but her boss did offer Jordan a job bartending that she declined. Jordan walks outside and tells them to stop talking about her in a joking way and hops in Cam's car because Cam is dropping her off at work. She has a fairly average shift, and towards the end of the night, Cole comes in with a group of people who include her ex, Jay, who is the guy from the movie theater, who gives her a creepy-ass look.
Gross.
We hate Jay. Jay's the worst.
So wait, her current boyfriend hangs out with her ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another red flag.
Keeping it in the circle.
Yeah. She asks Cole if he's sure about going out tonight since he has work at 10 a.m., but he says yes, and she's like, okay, good, because we need the money, and you already lost out on hours calling in today. So he didn't go to work today because he was too hungover, and now he's out partying again.
A scrub!
Everyone turns as Cam walks in with her group of work friends, and she shows Jordan a wad of big bills she got from a bachelor party that came into the club, and she's like, are you sure you don't want to come bartend at The Hook? But Jordan still says no. But, like, it's just bartending.
Yeah, I would fucking do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to strip.
No, you just do the same thing that you're already doing, but for more money.
Yeah, I think they, like, want her to wear, like, a teeny tiny, like, bikini strap, but still, she's like, no.
Get your bag.
I know.
Yeah.
Get your bag.
2 a.m. hits, and she's off work. Cam drives her home and hands her a bag with a birthday gift inside. Jordan walks inside the house, appreciating how nice it feels to come home to a clean space, and heads upstairs to her room. She opens the gift from Cam, and it's a lacy cami with matching panties, along with a flyer for a wet t-shirt contest at The Hook with a grand prize of $300.
Wow.
I don't think I would do a wet t-shirt contest for $300. It's not that much money.
Mm-mm. No, if it was like $1,000.
It's for hard times, baby. Sure. Inflation is real.
$300?
$300 ain't shit.
Mm-mm. No. I got like 12 things at Target the other day for $300.
God, would you show your titties for that?
No.
No. I mean, maybe I would.
Maybe.
Like outside Target, they were like, $300. You can get whatever you want. Take a look.
True.
Jordan texts Cole and asks where he is, but he doesn't respond. So he's not home yet. She tries on her new lingerie set, and as she looks at herself in the mirror, she starts to feel sexy, and she's starting to get aroused just looking at herself, which, like, good on you, girl. Confident.
I know. She's like, oh, who's that girl in the mirror? Is that me?
I don't know that I've ever, like, put something on and looked in the mirror and been like, I'm wet.
Yeah, no, not once. There's been times where I'm like, okay, girl, you can look good. Look at you.
Yeah.
But I've never been like, oh my God, my panties.
Never. Never. She sends a flirty text to Cole about wanting him to come home for sexy stuff. But again, he doesn't respond. So she starts fantasizing about what it would be like working at the club. And then she starts to like dance and grind on the bed, pretending there's a strange mystery man watching her while smoking a cigar.
I fucking can't. I cannot.
Okay.
The imagination in this book is wild. What these people think about when they fantasize, I swear.
as she's like dancing.
She's like, look at that lone man over there. The cigar. Hot.
He's watching me. As she strokes herself, she starts saying aloud that she's about to come when she hears someone quickly walking down the stairs, and it's not Cole, so she's like, oh fuck, I woke Pike up. Oh no. She cracks the door open and hears him on the phone on the back porch telling one of his employees to let him know when the baby's born so he can get his shift covered. And she's like, phew, close one. I didn't wake him up. His phone woke him up. Then she sees Pike sit at the patio table and he lights up a cigar.
Mr. Lawson, I didn't know you smoked.
He said, oh, she wants a man that smokes cigars. I gotcha.
Anyone got a lighter?
She runs back into her room and puts on regular jammies and climbs into bed all flustered. The next day she calls her dad, and when her stepmom answers, she's like, do you need money? Because we don't have any. And Jordan's like, no, and thinks to herself that even if she did need money, they'd be the last people she called for help. And Jordan's like, can you just tell my dad that I moved? And her stepmom's like, oh yeah, we heard. And Jordan's like, that's all I called for. So her stepmom is just like, okay, bye, and hangs up the phone.
Yeah, her parents suck.
She starts working on some homework when Pike knocks at the bedroom door and she tells him to come in. He tells her he's ordering pizza and asks if Cole will be home tonight. And she says, no, he's going to a party with friends. And he asks if she's going too, but she tells him she's not. He's like, okay, well, you gotta eat. And she's like, I already ate. And he says, okay, but tells her she doesn't need to hide up in her room. She's pitching in around the house. And if she wants to have a friend over or use the pool, she should feel free. She caves because she's tired of eating alone and figures he probably is too, so she steps out of the bedroom and is like, okay, we'll split the bill. And he's like, absolutely not. When the pizza comes, he's repulsed because she got taco pizza on her half, which, like, disgusting. Wilted lettuce?
That's fucking weird.
Ground beef?
I have never been like, you know what I want on my fucking pizza?
Taco.
A taco.
Taco toppings. Never. Yeah.
She forces him to eat a salad with vinaigrette first. And she says it's a tip not to fill up on pizza. It's less calories. So you fill up on the salad first and then you eat the pizza and you eat less pizza and then you're healthy.
I don't think that's how that works.
Just eat your pizza.
Yeah.
They sit down and watch Fight Club. And she's like, this came out the year I was born. And he's thinking to himself that he remembers seeing it in theaters his senior year of high school. So, like, the age gap.
Oh, it is age gapping.
Yeah.
It's gapping for sure.
The conversation gets a little stilted and awkward, so he offers her a beer. Which, like, cool dad. She's only 19.
Oh,
thanks, if you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it in the house.
I'm a cool mom.
He asks her about her plans for when she's out of college, and she says she doesn't care as long as she gets to travel. She leans over the arm of the couch to set her beer down on the side table, and he starts staring at her ass in her tiny little shorts and immediately gets hard. He slams some of his beer to clear his head, and she tells him about how she went to New Orleans when she was 15 with her sister to track down her mom, who left their family when Jordan was 4. She asks him if he's ever been married, and he says no. He put his career first, and he just got used to being alone. Their conversation starts to flow much more easily as they open up about their past and their family dynamics, but Pike starts to realize that ultimately him and Jordan both want the same things out of life. A week passes and Pike is starting to notice all the little things Jordan is doing around the house, like keeping the floors clean, making sure it smells good, wiping down the counters, throwing out leftovers, and he's starting to realize what a catch she is and how much Cole takes her for granted. Cole is barely home, he's always out partying, he never goes to work.
Swoop in, daddy.
Pike usually comes home from work to Jordan blasting 80s music in the house, and it instantly puts a smile on his face. As he's doing a load of laundry, he notices something red and frilly wrapped up in one of his work pants, and it's a sheer G-string.
Oh.
He goes to call her name to tell her about them, but then he's like, no, that's hella awkward. And then he starts picturing her wearing it.
Oh.
He decides he'll just throw it on top of the dryer and let her find them herself. As he walks downstairs, he looks out the window to see Jordan mowing the lawn and is like, what the hell? I told Cole to do that. But then he notices how hot she looks in her sweaty summer clothes with her hair all disheveled. And he starts to get aroused.
Damn, she looks so good on that tractor.
Do you think it's a riding lawnmower?
That's what I pictured in my head.
Probably. Oh, I pictured like a push mower. Her, like, boobies are jiggling.
Oh, even hotter.
She's just pushing it with all her strength.
He snaps himself out of it. Like, again, he's like, that is my son's girlfriend. She is half my age.
She's a little girl.
And then Jordan starts playing air guitar while Pour Some Sugar on Me plays through the Bluetooth speakers. And he starts laughing because, like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like,
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I've never mowed a lawn, but I've definitely done air guitar.
You've never mowed a lawn?
No.
Oh.
I've also never mowed a lawn.
What's that like? As she's playing her air guitar, her hair falls out of her hair tie and she starts looking hella sexy dancing around.
And she has no idea he's watching her?
No, and she's just playing air guitar in his yard.
I wonder if like part of her is like, maybe he's watching.
Yeah, but like you if know? You're going to be sexy, you're not playing air guitar.
No, she's like, meow, meow.
I'm just picturing like Jack Black.
Yeah, like School of Rock.
Yes.
Yes. Pike notices Kyle, the neighbor, watching her from his porch. The lawnmower stops and Jordan runs and jumps in the pool with all of her clothes on. This girl is
quirky. I hate her.
Quirky.
She's pissing me off.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I was like, oh, she's a funny girl.
She's not like different. The other girl.
She's different.
When she surfaces, her hard nipples are visible and he sees Kyle with a creepy smile on his face. He busts out the front door and flips Kyle off, who just turns around and walks back inside his house.
I'm just picturing him like, fuck you, Kyle. Just no words. He's just like, fuck you.
Pike walks up to Jordan, clearly pissed off, and is like, you can stop mowing now. And she's like, why? Was I not doing a good job? And he's like, Cole is supposed to be doing this. And besides, you shouldn't be mowing the lawn dressed like that. And then she says, excuse me? He tells her his neighbor was outside watching her like a creep, and God knows what he was thinking. And Jordan says, that's not my problem. It was hot, so I jumped in the pool. And he says, this is a neighborhood, not your sister's strip club.
Oh, no.
Low blow.
Because it is hot outside. She can wear whatever she wants.
Period.
Yeah, that's on Kyle for being weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, do you want her to wear a parka and go mow your lawn in the middle of summer?
He said, ankles covered, wrists covered.
Slut.
You fucking whore.
Jordan's like, this is a backyard. Why would anyone care about how I'm dressed?
Yeah.
Good point.
Good point. I've literally tanned naked in my backyard before.
It's your yard. Do what you want in it.
Yeah.
Pike says their wives will care. They don't appreciate cock teases strutting around taunting their husbands.
Oh.
She says, I realize things were probably a little different when you were a teenager 89 years ago, but nowadays we don't hold a woman responsible for a man's behavior. Mic drop, period.
Tell him.
Tell him, girl.
She says, if a man wants to look at me, that's not my business. And if he wants to go off somewhere private and do a little self-loving, that's not my problem either.
Slay.
Mm-hmm. He knows that she's right and turns to walk away, but looks at her and says, Cole does the yard work, or me. Got it? And she says, yes, daddy.
Oh.
Yeah, she's feeling spicy. They don't speak for the rest of the day, and the next morning she even sleeps in to avoid him. But Pike left his lunchbox at home, so she decides to drop it off for him at the work site. She runs into Dutch and lets him know that she has Pike's lunch, and she expects Dutch to take the lunch and bring it to Pike. But Dutch says, follow me, I'll show you where he is. He brings Jordan into the building they're working on, and Pike is in the corner of her room looking over a clipboard, and when she sees how sexy he looks in his work clothes, she blushes a little bit.
Oh, a working man.
There's something about him.
She's like, a stable job? Hot.
She tells him he left his lunchbox on the table, and she thought she'd bring it to him, and he thanks her and says, you shouldn't have done that. I could have just gotten food at the food truck or something. And then she tells him she packed him a little bit extra, and it's just a turkey, cheese, and cucumber wrap, which honestly sounds really good right now.
I've never had that, but I want to try
so
it.
So good. Pike says, you're not going to be happy until I'm eating hummus, are you? And she tells him that she'll build him up slowly. So, like, she keeps trying to make him eat healthier for some reason, and he's, like, dragging his feet on it because he's like a man. He wants to eat his steak and potatoes.
Yeah.
They stand and stare at each other for a few seconds, and there's some obvious tension between the two of them of the sexual variety. He apologizes for the day before and tells her that he was just mad at Kyle and took it out on her, and Jordan tells him that she works in a bar. She's used to it. He gives her a little tour of the construction site, and they very quickly go back to their easy conversation as he explains how everything works. She asks about the courtyard, and he tells her that a landscaping company will be coming in when the building is closer to being completed, and tells her that he'll let her know when they start so she can pop in and see the progress, since that's what she's going to school for. So she's going to school to be a landscaper.
Okay.
Which is why she was, like, mowing the lawn.
Oh.
She wants to, like, design gardens. Which, like, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. I didn't know you had to go to school for that.
I think you, like, can. You probably don't have to, but...
Okay.
She says she's got to get going, but says, see you at home. I'll have dinner ready by 5.
And as she walks back to the car, she kicks herself for referring to it as their home and that she'll have dinner ready by 5 because Cole isn't even off until 6 o'clock.
She's like, fuck, I forgot I have a boyfriend.
I know. That night, after Jordan gets out of the shower, she looks out the window to see Pike working on her car and being approached by two women who are obviously just checking him out. So, like, all the women in the neighborhood will, like, pretend to go for jogs together when Pike is outside. And they'll just, like, ogle him because he's hot.
Hey, Daddy Pike. Look at us on our jog in our skimpy little clothes.
We work out.
Jordan surprises herself by getting a little bit jealous watching this happen. She turns around to see Cole is standing in the room and she didn't even know that he was home. Cole tells her to drop the towel and she tries to say that they can't do this right now, but he tells her that he'll get her in the mood and that he misses her. She says she was home last night and he wasn't, and he tells her that he invited her to come out with him, but she said she was tired, and she's like, yeah, I'm tired because I've been doing your chores, so.
Yeah, picking up your slack.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't tell you to do that. And she says, well, it needed to get done. And now she's not feeling any sort of desire for this man. She's like, how could you?
Understandable. Like, I feel like I would dry up.
Mm-hmm.
Sahara Desert.
Yeah, like, what's sexy about a man who just goes out and parties while you're at home?
Yeah, doesn't want to help with anything, doesn't contribute.
Burns all the money on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
She tells him that he didn't do any of the chores because he knew that she would do it. And then Cole starts to walk out of the room and says, do you know why I'm never home? Because of that. You make me feel like I'm not good enough. She's like, oh my God. She tells him she's only here to be with him and he's always gone. And she's like, I spend all my time with your dad. And he tells her that if she's so uncomfortable, she can go stay somewhere else. And she starts crying and he says, I don't even remember the last time we had sex. She says, if I wasn't doing all your shit around here and working until 2 a.m., I wouldn't be so tired. We're supposed to be saving money, and instead you drink away all your paychecks, and I just feel alone. Sad.
I mean, she is alone.
He grabs her face and says, just shut up for a while and fuck me. She starts to give in, and he gets on top of her in the bed, and then she realizes she doesn't want to do this and tells him to get off of her. Which, like, honestly, I was surprised that he's doing work for this. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't like, get on top.
Yeah,
honestly.
He keeps trying to kiss her, but she finally pushes him off and he storms out of the door and speeds off in his car. Like a little
baby
temper tantrum.
Baby back bitch.
She starts to go through all of the bills that have been piling up and she realizes that her financial hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper, so she picks up the flyer for the wet t-shirt contest. But she knows she wouldn't be able to bring herself to it. She's not gonna do it. She's just thinking about it.
And also, like, two of those bills in there were two of Cole's credit card bills that she's trying to pay off for him. Like, mm-hmm. Get yourself together, you little bitch. Don't pay his bills.
I just fucking left those.
Let his credit go to shit. He's a fucking child.
And the fact that they were, like, best friends before they started dating makes it even worse.
Yeah, shitty.
She goes out to sit by the pool and attempts to calm herself down before jumping in, and she just floats for a while. And then she tries to see how long she can hold her breath for at the bottom of the pool, and she sees a shadow barreling for her in the water, and it's Pike pulling her out. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? I thought you were drowning. And he asks if she's okay. Which, like, that would be terrifying, just seeing a body at the bottom of the pool.
She's just down there like, I'm trying to hold my breath. And he's like, I thought you were dead.
Like, fully clothed. Yeah.
But also, think about how terrifying that would be if you were in the pool thinking you're alone. And then somebody just comes in and, like, grabs you out of
it. Yanks you out.
No.
Hell no.
That's like my childhood fear of thinking that there's a shark in every pool I'm getting into.
I used to think about that, too. It'd be like the city pool.
Yeah.
There's no ocean anywhere nearby. Even if a shark could jump for like a mile, there'd be no shark in that pool.
And I'm like, there's one in here.
I know it. Jordan says she's fine and realizes she's just wearing a shirt and boxers that are completely soaked and stuck to her skin.
Oh my God.
Pike tells her that he heard her and Cole fighting, and she tells him that Cole doesn't want her here and she doesn't think he wants her at all anymore. And he asks how her and Cole met. She tells him that they met working together at a car wash when they were 16 and they became very close friends, along with another guy named Nick, who passed away in a car accident a couple of years before her and Cole started officially dating. She says Cole took it really hard because he was supposed to be Nick's ride that night, and they kind of bonded over the trauma and became inseparable.
So that's their backstory. That's why they're together. The next day, Jordan and Cole both pretend like the fight never happened and things go back to normal. Jordan's working a shift at the bar and Cole is supposed to pick her up when her shift is over. But when she goes out to his car, she notices it's not Cole driving. It's her ex, Jay, the ex that Cole hangs out with.
So fucking weird.
Jay tells her that Cole is too wasted to drive and is sleeping it off at a friend's house, so he volunteered to pick her up. She says she will absolutely not be getting in the car with him and runs back to the bar. And she starts to get flashbacks of their extremely toxic relationship and can even feel the fire on her scalp from where he had yanked her hair. So he was like abusive.
Oh no.
And her boyfriend's hanging out with this guy, like sending him to go pick her up.
Fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She hears the tires of the car screeching as he speeds off down the road. And she's pissed because Cole is drunk again and doesn't understand why he would put her in this position. She calls her sister, but it goes to voicemail and she doesn't know who to call for a ride home now. She wants to call Pike, but she doesn't want to throw Cole under the bus. So she decides just to sleep at the bar on top of a pool table.
What the fuck?
20 minutes pass and she's still wide awake when her phone starts to vibrate and the caller ID says that it's Pike. When she answers, he says it's after 3 a.m. and he just wanted to make sure everything was okay. And she says she's fine and asks if she has a curfew or something. And he says, no, you stay out and have fun. And he just wanted to make sure that she got out of work safely. She lies and says everything's fine. And when she hears a loud slam on the other end of the phone, she's like, what is going on? And he says, the damn microwave won't pop popcorn. And she says, you know, there's a popcorn button, right? And he says, I pushed it. And she's like, you have to push it twice. So she knows his microwave better than he does. He says, oh, thanks. Well, I'll let you go. And she says, wait, can I ask you a question? And he's like, okay. And she asks him where all the stuff is in his house because there's furniture, but nothing personal, and asks why that is. He says it's all in the basement, but he never dug it out after he moved into the house 10 years ago. And she says she'd love to see the stuff and would even help him unpack it if he wanted. And he says, all that stuff is from a time in my life that I'd like to forget. And she says, you need some spice in your life. Maybe you should get a woman. And he says, what makes you think I don't already have a woman? And then she's like, do you?
I'll be your woman.
He says, my needs do have to be taken care of once in a while. I am human after all. Now she's just thinking about his needs. He says he'll let her get back to having fun and tells her to be safe. And she falls asleep, smiling, thinking about Pike. Pike wakes up the next morning and sees that Jordan and Cole still aren't home and figures they must have stayed out and crashed at a friend's house last night. Around 11 a.m., Cole walks in, clearly hungover, and his dad looks at him and says, you've been drinking a lot, and Cole just ignores him. He tries to get Cole to open up to him and says that he doesn't know what his mother told Cole about him, but he was good to them, and he worked hard to provide for them, and Cole still doesn't respond. So Pike just says, I'm here for you, okay? Cole nods his head, and Pike asks him where Jordan is. He just shrugs his shoulders, and Pike asks if he picked her up from work last night, and Cole says, no, I had too much to drink, so I sent one of my buddies to pick her up. She probably came home last night and went out for a jog this morning or something. And now Pike is pissed because Jordan told him that she was with Cole last night, and that means that she lied. He knows she's safe because he spoke to her on the phone, but he hates being lied to, especially by women. Which is, like, kind of incel-y, but okay.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
You should just hate being lied to. Not, like, by women.
No matter who it is.
Now he's concerned that Jordan was maybe going behind Cole's back last night, and he doesn't want that for his son. If she's gonna be cheating on him, it's gonna be with me.
That's, like, his first thought, though, is that she's cheating on him. I feel like if I was him, I would be like, oh, Cole probably fucked up and didn't pick her up, so she's, like, with a friend or something. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. But he's like, she's fucking some guy.
She's fucking around on my kid.
He, like, kind of slut-shames her a lot.
Yeah.
And she's not even doing anything.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, literally existing.
Yeah. He's like, you fucking whore.
He's a boomer. He's like, oh, you look at you standing there in your fucking shorts and tank top, you slut.
Pike goes to her work to see her working the lunch shift wearing the same clothes as last night. And he walks up to her and asks if her and Cole had fun last night. And she just says, yeah, avoiding his eyes. Pike asks where she was all night. And Jordan asks him if Cole came home. And Pike says, yes. Jordan says, then we're both fine. And the rest is not your concern. Which, like, yeah.
True.
Pike glares at her and says, my house is not a hotel, little girl. There it is.
Ew.
And that whoever picked her up last night did not bring her home. So if she's cheating on his son, he's gonna be upset and tells her not to ever lie to him again. And now Jordan looks pissed and she just shoves past him and says, yeah, got it. Shell, the owner of the bar and Jordan's boss, overheard this whole conversation and goes up to Pike and says, screwing around on your son, your precious son, clearly mocking Pike. And Pike asks her if she has something to say. And she tells him that Cole got drunk at a party last night and sent her ex-boyfriend to pick her up. the same ex-boyfriend who thought it was fun to smack her around in high school after he lost a football game.
Tell him.
Mm-hmm. Jordan refused to get in the car and slept on the pool table and didn't tell Pike because she didn't want him to find out what a loser his son is. And she says Jordan is a good kid and deserves more than his son. Pike feels incredibly guilty now and is super angry at Cole. He finds her crying in the supply closet and he apologizes, but she tells him just to leave her alone and she'll get out of his house. He apologizes again, and she says, "You know the thing about men? They think they can treat you badly because you'll take it, but you win when you never let them do it again, so you can kiss my ass." And she storms out of the room.
Period. I love that.
Don't let men treat you like shit.
Nope.
Hit him in the balls.
Yeah. That night, she stays on her sister's couch instead of going back to Pike's. And in the morning, she borrows her sister's car to go get her things. So she's fully committed to moving out at this point.
I would be too.
She walks in the door, but Pike is home, and she says she's just here to get her stuff, and she's not his problem anymore. He begs her to please just listen to him for a minute, because he has something he wants to show her. He takes her to the backyard, where he shows her that he's starting a garden, and tells her that he was hoping she would want to help with it. And he's sweaty and has obviously been outside for the last day, so she knows that he just recently set this up, like after their little altercation at the bar. He apologizes again for being an asshole and jumping to conclusions and says he wants her to stay because he likes having her here. And she starts crying and he says, "Please don't cry again or I'll have to take out the pool and build you a gazebo or some shit." And she laughs and says, "No, don't take out the pool. I like the pool." He shows her all the seeds that he bought and slowly takes the suitcase from her hands and says he'll put it in the garage and maybe they can start planting or something in the morning. She nods her head and he says, "Next time you need anything, promise me you'll call." And she nods again. A couple days later, Pike is playing poker in the basement with the guys from work while Cole and Jordan have some friends over upstairs. Jordan walks down the stairs and says she's grabbing some Otter Pops and all of the guys stop talking and just stare at her. And Pike notices that she's wearing one of his old shirts and she's cut the sides out of it. I don't remember him giving her a shirt though. So like she just took one of his shirts and cut it up.
Maybe she, I think that they like mentioned maybe she got it from like the laundry or something like that. Like the laundry got mixed up or something.
Yeah, but she just like took it.
I know. She's like, "Yeah, this looks good." I think maybe he said something like maybe she thought it was Cole's.
That makes sense. He wants to be angry, but she looks really good at it. And it feels really nice for him to see her wearing his things. She mentions that Cole has been eyeing a cake that's been sitting in the refrigerator and she wants to check to make sure it's okay for him to eat it. And he says, "Oh yeah, I was just passing by the store and I remembered you didn't get any cake for your birthday, so I picked it up. So yeah, Cole can eat it if he wants." And she says, "In that case, Cole can't have any because it's hers," and thanks him before going back to the party. Pike walks upstairs to the kitchen and sees Jordan pulling the cake out, and she says she's not going to eat it yet, but she just wants to look at it, and she doesn't think she's ever had a cake this pretty.
It kind of is a pretty cake, though. The frosting is designed into roses and starts off at the bottom in white and slowly grows pinker by row as it moves towards the top, where it's finally evolved into a dark hot pink. See, it wasn't stupid. I knew she liked pink. It's pink on the inside, too, I tell her. Pink cake, I mean.
It's pink on the inside.
Jordan dips her finger into the icing and licks it off while he stares at her, and he says he forgot candles, but he has matches. He puts one in the center of the cake and lights it, and she blows out the flame. Pike is thinking about how someone should be holding her right now. Someone should be putting both his hands on the counter at her sides and feeling her breath against their face, and he starts wondering what she tastes like, so he just grabs a can of soda, gripping it so hard that it crinkles.
Control yourself.
He surprises her with a few of his cassette tapes, and she's touched because they belong to his father. She smiles at him, and they have a very intense few seconds of eye contact before Pike tells her to make sure that Cole and his friends clean up after they're done. It's 1 a.m., and Pike is woken up by a loud thud, and he looks outside to see that Cole and his friends are still partying. There are two topless girls making out with a guy in the pool, another girl passed out on a lawn chair wearing sunglasses, and then he sees Jordan in the shallow end of the pool trying to hold her top on as Cole pulls the strings of her bikini.
Right, Cole.
He tries to look away because of the shame he feels about how beautiful he thinks she looks right now. And when he looks back up, he sees Jordan storming out of the pool and throwing his old t-shirt on over her bikini and retying it. She walks into the house and runs straight into Pike, who pretends that he just came downstairs to charge his phone and that he wasn't looking out the window. Which, like, you don't have a charger in your room? Also, the audacity of Cole to be throwing a loud-ass party at 1 a.m. at his dad's house.
I know.
It's not, yeah, not even your house.
She said she just came inside to chop up some watermelon, and he helps her but accidentally slices his finger open on a knife. So she makes him sit down on a bar stool and stands in between his legs while she bandages him up, and he instinctively reaches up and brushes some of the stray hair out of her eyes. Jordan makes a joke about hooking him up with one of the topless girls running around outside, and he says, "No, she's not what I like." And Jordan says, "What do you like?" And he says, "Women old enough to drink, for starters." And Jordan says, "That's good, because I don't really want to set you up with her. And besides, I'd probably be jealous. I like being the only woman in the house." Oh. He tells her that he likes talking to her, and she says she's probably got to get back to the party. And he says, "That's fine. I have to go to bed anyway." The next morning, Jordan is peeling potatoes, looking out the window, and Pike is working out in the garden. She's in turmoil about the feelings she's starting to develop for him. Last night when she blew out the match, she wished for the same thing she did the night at the movie theater, to feel the exact same way the next day. So instead of wishing for tomorrow to be better, she wishes for it to be good, like that day was.
Ah.
She zones out ogling him when he pulls his shirt off, and Cam walks up behind her and says, "Whoa, that's hot. I've never seen you look at Cole like that." Cam tells Jordan that she's a young, hot piece of pussy and she should just go for it. Jordan says, "No, that's her boyfriend's dad." And Cam is like, "Maybe I'll go for it then." And Jordan's like, "Okay, I don't even care." So Cam says, "All right then," and walks out the back door. She watches out the window, and Cam goes up to Pike and starts flirting with him. And Jordan is obviously jealous, so she pauses what she's doing in the kitchen and goes to take a shower. Pike has been doing some renovations in the bathroom that Cole and Jordan use, so she has to use the master. She starts the shower and hops in, and she notices Pike's body wash sitting at the ledge, and she gives it a good sniff, and immediately she's hella soaked. She starts playing a little acoustic solo, you know? Little...
like, diddling her bean?
Yeah.
It's like in the bean, baby.
Yeah. While fantasizing about Cole, but she just can't get there no matter how hard she tries. So she switches up and imagines Pike coming up behind her and telling her what a good girl she is.
My fingers graze down my stomach as I lean back on the wall, and I slide my hand between my legs, biting my lip and shuddering at the touch. I slowly start to rub myself, my fingers working little circles on my hardening clit. Hardening clit? Yeah.
Does your clit get hard?
I don't
know.
So. Is that a thing?
I just like, boing.
She's getting a little bony.
Ew.
"No," I whisper, opening my eyes. "Stop, stop, stop." I force Cole into my head, his hands on my body, his lips on my ear, the way he buries his face in my neck so I can never see his eyes. "Oh, baby, fuck, you feel good, so good." His hands grip my ass and I rub the nub harder, faster, chasing the momentum I just had. The orgasm taunts me low in my belly and wants out so hard. "Cole," I say, closing my eyes again. "Go harder." I spin around, facing the wall and pressing myself into it, with my hands still buried between my legs. He's behind me, demanding in. He wants to fuck. I slip a finger inside and start moving on it. I lay my cheek against the wall, trying to go fast so I can't think. Maybe if it's just fucking, I can come. My finger is wet and I slide it back out and rub my clit again. I want to come. It's right there, but I can't. The muscles in my arm strain and my lungs ache for air. Please, but it doesn't come. My fingers slow and I exhale, tears stinging the backs of my eyes. I bite my lip again, aching so badly. I'm so wet.
Oh my god.
Just think of fucking something else.
She finally comes hard enough to almost collapse, and when she looks down at the loofah, she realizes that it's Pike's loofah, not hers. So, like, she was rubbing a loofah on her puss, and then she's like, "Oh no, it was Pike's loofah.
I used Daddy Lawson to
rub her pussy juice all over himself."
She reminds herself again that her boyfriend's father is off limits and tells herself she's going to be buying him a new loofah. The next night, Pike is watching TV alone when he gets a call from Dutch, who's at a bachelor party at Grounders, and tells him that he needs to get down here immediately because Jordan is doing something that he certainly wouldn't approve of. Dutch won't elaborate, so Pike immediately gets ready to leave the house when he sees a piece of paper sitting on the trash can in the kitchen. He looks at it, and it's the flyer for the wet t-shirt contest at the Hook, and he's really hoping that she's not considering it. He gets to the bar and immediately spots Jordan wearing skin-tight jeans and a corset top with her breasts essentially spilling out.
He goes up to Dutch and asks him what's going on, and Dutch tells him that it's the lingerie show that Grounders has every Thursday night, but Jordan never participated before. He goes up to Jordan and asks her what the hell she's wearing, and she tells him it's just a corset and asks him what he's even doing here. He pulls out the flyer and shows it to her and tells her if she needs money, he'll lend her whatever she needs, and now she looks angry and says she would rather eat from a dumpster than take money from him. And he says, I hate to break it to you, but you live in my house where you pay no rent or utilities, young lady.
Ugh, I know.
She says, I do my share, you arrogant prick. And he tells her that dressing like this will give men ideas and make them think they have a free pass to touch what belongs to his son, and that she's embarrassing him.
Oh my God.
I know. She says, your son was already here and he didn't seem to care when he left with his friends. And then Pike blurts out, well, I care.
Why do you care?
He's being so arrogant.
Jordan is just standing there shocked, and he says, you're special, Jordan. You know that, right? He says, it may just be a corset, but eventually it'll be a wet t-shirt contest and a job at the hook. She storms away from him, and he goes and sits with Dutch, where a different waitress comes up with a round of shots and tells them it's called a pineapple upside down cake and it's on the house. And Jordan says they're Pike's favorite. And now all of the guys are laughing at him. So she sent, like, girly drinks over. About an hour later, Jordan brings a Corona up to Pike and says she needs a ride home tonight if that's okay. And he says, sure, he'll wait for her to get off. Dutch is like, you have work at 5 a.m. and Pike says it's fine. Dutch asks why he doesn't just leave his car keys for her, so Pike slides the keys over to Jordan and she thanks him as she slides them into her pocket. They pay their tab and Dutch gives Pike a ride home and tells him that Jordan is clearly interested in him and he can tell the feeling is mutual, and that's why he stepped in tonight, because he doesn't think that Pike should be alone with her. But like, they live in a house together, so.
Yeah.
Jordan gets off work early, and on the drive home, she decides she really needs to reevaluate her relationship with Cole. She goes to the kitchen to get a glass of water when she looks out the window to see Cole outside in the yard, but he's with another girl in the pool and he's fucking her.
Two-time and hussy.
Pike comes up behind her, oblivious to what's going on, and says, you got off early tonight. But when he notices she's clearly going through it, he asks her if she's okay, and then looks out the window and sees exactly what's going on. He grabs her arm and pulls her away from the window, and she starts hyperventilating. Pike opens the back door and asks Cole what the hell he's doing. And Cole says, oh shit, I thought you were asleep. And Pike says, no one's fucking asleep. And now Cole realizes that Jordan's home. And he says that he thought she was working until 2 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're still fucking somebody else.
Yeah. Jordan steps in, and now the girl is running out of the pool, grabbing all her clothes, and says she's gonna head out and apologizes to Jordan. Jordan asks how long this has been going on, and he says, since your birthday party.
What a piece of shite.
Which was, like, before they even moved in with his dad.
Yeah, that's so fucked up.
Cole says, I've known you a long time, and we both needed each other a lot when this started, but you were always going to move on from me. And she asked if he fucked her in their bed, and his silence is deafening.
Disgusting.
She realizes that his whole group of friends probably knew this whole time, and now she's humiliated. He says he's going to go stay with Elena, which is the girl.
Oh, God.
And that she can stay at the house in the meantime, and she says, fuck you. The next day, she packs up all of her stuff and decides to go stay with her dad. But before she can leave, Pike comes home early and asks what she's doing. And she tells him with her and Cole broken up, it's not right for her to stay here. She tries to get in the car so she can leave, but Pike tells her it's not ready to go yet. Because remember, her car is still being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it'll stall every time you stop. And she says, it's fine. She'll deal with it. And Pike says, just stop. Put your stuff in my truck and I'll take you. He says that he'll keep the car and work on it for a few more days and get it ready to go.
They get to Jordan's dad's mobile home. It's called Meadow Lakes. And he immediately does not want her to go. It's dirty and run down. And her stepbrother, Ryan, who he didn't even know existed, is there with his friends. And they're making snide comments about how even though she's not the stripper sister, she can still dance. And his friends were just laughing. And Pike was like trying not to freak out. He pushed Jordan inside gently. This was her choice to be here, whether he liked it or not. They get into what used to be Jordan's room, and her bed is missing. There's cobwebs everywhere. Drawers are missing from the dressers. There's holes in the wall, and Pike is just like, no. Hell no. Jordan tries to reassure him that she's gonna be fine here. This is where she grew up, and everything will be good as new in no time. And Pike just tells her that they're leaving now. He takes her suitcase from her hands and the box that he was carrying, and he leaves out the front door without another word.
He said, my little girl is not staying here.
You're coming home with daddy.
He puts her stuff in his car, and she's like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, you are not staying there. My house is perfectly fine. It's safe. This is not. You don't have anyone in that house that cares
cares about you. She's like, and you do? And when he doesn't answer, she realizes that he does care for her. And when he told her to get in the car, she hesitated and he slams his hands on the steering wheel and she gets in.
Okay.
Pike realizes that no matter where she decided that she wanted to go, even if it was her dad's house or moving in with her sister Cam, regardless, he wanted to take care of her and that he would have tried to convince her not to go. He wants to take care of her, but he doesn't want to suffocate her. He apologizes for how he behaved. He makes sure that she's comfortable at his house too and that she wants to be there. He didn't just completely read everything wrong and wasn't just going off of what he wanted. Then Jordan just said their classic pizza ordered and fastened her seatbelt. Pike put the car in gear and drove off toward the house. Jordan is now a tenant, regardless of what Pike says. He refuses to take her money, but Jordan refuses not to pay any of the bills while she's still doing her usual chores. Along with her usual chores, Pike has his own set of chores, and she just assumed that some of it would get dropped because she's like not used to a man doing any set of chores. But he does them all, and she's never ever had that before.
He's a real man.
She's been having fun decorating her new room. It's like her safe space. She's got an IKEA dresser, a new bed, twinkle lights, new paintings, a new vintage boombox from Pike's bestie Dutch. Pike calls her down and says the riverbank is flooding and they're calling anyone that can help to sandbag it before it reaches the street, and they get ready and head out. Pike is unable to get a hold of Cole, and Jordan says that she'll try to on the car ride over, knowing that they'll need all the extra hands that they can get. They've been there for 3 hours now, still no word from Cole, working basically in assembly line style. April Lester is there and she says hi to Jordan, and she walks straight beeline passing her and goes right to Pike. Jordan's like trying to play it cool, but then Pike gives April this jaw-dropping smile and blushes, and Jordan's like internally growling, but also trying to rationalize with herself.
Who's April?
Just some lady.
Okay.
I don't think she came up before this.
She's like full-on staring at Pike and April at this point now, and she's watching their entire encounter, and April is on Pike's assembly line, and she almost drops the sandbag, and Pike catches it last minute, and him and April are like so close now because they both went to go catch the bag. And they're like almost cheek to cheek. It's almost like Pike could sense Jordan watching, and his head snaps up and they're just staring at each other for a second and the whole world disappears. She looks away and walks to the car. Pike like walks after her and he's like, you ready to go? She's smiling and he's like, the water's literally so high, it's about to destroy houses. Why are you smiling? She's like, it's fun getting wet and dirty. He's like, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. And then he took her off-roading and she was laughing and screaming and giggling the whole time. They have the windows down. The mud's rolling in. There's innocent flirting going on. Pike just lets Jordan drive. She slides over since it's like a bench seat in his truck, and he jumps out of the truck, never hits the ground, and like swoops around the bed of the truck. And since it's raining, he comes back in and his shirt is soaked and it's like pressed up against his body, and he's looking fine. Because they were like four-wheeling with the windows down and getting all wet and stuff, when they get back to the house, they decide to wash off in the backyard with the hose so that way they don't track all the mud in the house. Pike takes off his shirt and rinses his stomach and back off, and Jordan undoes one of her braids slowly, and Pike grabs the other one and rinses off the mud off of her. And she asks him to check her back for mud, and he's slowly running his hands over her body. And there's so much tension, you could cut it with a knife. Then she takes her shirt off. She grabs a towel and places it over the front of her, but her back is open to Pike, and he's hella close to her now, and he whispers in her ear that the towel is gonna get all wet, so she drops the towel, and he runs the water and washes her all over, and she's feeling naughty, so she asks him if her legs are all clean. So he gets on his knees, and he caresses her legs slowly with the water, but he doesn't go too high, even though she longs for him to do so. So it's getting like intimate. It's getting hot and steamy. And he says her name, but neither of them can look at each other's eyes. Pike is basically saying that she just misses Cole right now and that she's out of sorts, but what's his excuse? She was about to run away because that's the easier option, but instead she decides to hit it head on. And she says that she's apologizing, but it's because it's not the first time that she wants him to touch her. Pike's just staring at her and suddenly looking angry. He grabs her chin forcefully and says, no, it's not happening. You're not getting that from me. You want to get laid? Then you go hunt somewhere else. And she feels really stupid for putting herself out there like that because she knows it's not one-sided. Yeah.
That would have made me feel like ashamed and yucky, I feel like.
Yeah, and then he orders her to go to her room.
What the fuck?
He's like, go to your room, young lady.
Ew!
She lashes out and she says she'll find somewhere else to go for the night and it must be easy for a slut like her. And as she's walking away, he grabs her and hauls her back into his chest and she drops her shirt and shoes that she has in her hands and slams into the side of the house. He tells her that if she wants to act like a brat, then maybe she'll get grounded like one. And she's like, you can't even control Cole to do his chores. When was the last time you had a woman even in your bed? You're not even a man.
Oh, tell him.
The one thing about Jordan is like when she gets like backed into a corner, she gets really bratty and like really snippy.
Yeah, I feel like she like lashes out.
She does. He slams his palm into the house and the next thing she knows, his lips are on hers.
I whimper. The feel and taste of him flooding me so hard, my clit pulses between my legs. Oh shit. My eyelids flutter closed. The heat and adrenaline diving from my chest to my groin in the span of a second. He pulls back. Fuck. And his fist tightens in my hair, but he comes back in, his mouth covering mine, demanding more, and I can barely catch my breath. I'm hot all over. He tastes so good, feels so good. It only takes a moment, but my brain finally kicks in and I reach around, taking the back of his neck and kissing him too. His hand grips my waist and I can feel his fingers slide under the red silk strap of my panties peeking out, winding his hand once in the fabric like he's getting ready to yank it off. My pussy throbs at the thought. His tongue is hot and demanding, flicking in my mouth and playing with my own. And when he pulls back just a hair to nibble my bottom lip, I shift on my tiptoes, feeling the warm slickness ache between my legs. Oh God. He moves from my lips to my cheeks, leaving kisses along my jaw and back down to my neck. I can only arch it to give him free rein. And I smile on the inside. He does want this. He wants me. My skin buzzes, the hair rising on my arms, and I break out in chills at the feel of his hands starting to explore as much as his mouth. I press my ass into his groin and feel the ridge of his cock, hard and tempting.
Oh my god.
It's getting juicy.
It is getting juicy about jam time.
He tells her that they can't do this, and she just says she knows. She'll go to her sister's and stay with her. He picks her up, wrapping her legs around him and pushing her against the wall, and tells her she's not going anywhere and kisses her throat. And now she's panting. He yanks her strap down so she's only bare for a second before they hear a slam, and it's Cole saying, "Dad?" Pike lets him know he's in the back, rinsing off, and Jordan's trying to get her shirt back on and staying out of sight. Cole asks where Jordan was, and Pike lied and said inside, and the weight of their situation really hit her. She realized how fucked everything is, and she might be able to leave Cole, but Pike can't because that's his son. Cole admitted that Jordan was the only person there for him when he couldn't stand to be around anyone else, and how he didn't want to hurt her. When Cole left, Pike said what him and Jordan are doing can't happen, and she just said she knows. Pike's having a wet dream about Jordan, and he's like, fuck, I need to fuck someone that's not Jordan. He gets up and ready for the day, and Jordan's downstairs too and being super, super closed off. He tells her she's a beautiful girl, but just a girl, and that his head wasn't straight. The boundaries got blurred and they were both lonely and it won't happen again. He's with the guys at work and they're trying to convince him to go to Jordan's work now that they're off, and Pike's just brushing them off. He just wants to go home and eat his leftovers in peace. He pulls up to his neighborhood and sees Jordan leaving his neighbor Kyle Kramer's house, and he's checking her out and watching her leave, and his blood is boiling. He's like, what are you doing there? She's like, he needs a babysitter tonight and he asked me, probably figured I was hard on cash. Pike immediately offered the kids and Jordan to stay at his house so they could play in the pool and also so he could keep an eye on Jordan. She declines, dropping her gaze, looking nervous, and he asks if she's mad at him. She tells him no, and that she's just trying to work some stuff out in her head. Her eyes are filling with tears, and he feels like absolute shit. She dips her head, trying to stop the tears coming from her eyes, and he reassures her that he still wants her around. He's not going anywhere, and he pulls her in for a hug. She hugs him back hard, and he tells her that he'll get the floaties ready for the kids and order the pizza. The kids are over, and they're having a water fight, and it's making Pike feel young again. He's thinking about how he wants her bad. He realizes that for the first time in like 20 years, he has a crush
on a girl half his age.
She just graduated high school last year.
Jesus.
Her phone keeps ringing and she tells Pike it's the guys in town trying to comfort her since they know that her and Cole broke up. He tells her that maybe she should give one of them a chance. She tells him that she will. Carter Hewitt, a guy from town, already asked her to go tubing this weekend and she said yes. Pike immediately was like, no. There's nothing to do but drinking in the water. By the time you get to the car, you'll be drunk. Then it's easy picking on what you'll do. She's like, you're so old school and also not my father.
He's like, you should go date someone. And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna. And he's like, no, immediately, no.
No.
No, you're not.
You're grounded.
You're gonna date me.
Yeah, you should go. Curfew's at 6 p.m.
Be back when the streetlights turn on.
Supper's done. Come on.
She and the kids leave the house to put the kids down for sleep, and she tells Pike that she'll be home once Kyle's home. The doorbell rings, and it's a young man he doesn't recognize. It's fucking Jay asking for Jordan.
Ew.
When realization hits Pike, he walks towards Jay so fast, and he doesn't stop till he's in his face, and he tells him that he knows who he is and what he likes to do, and to stay away from Jordan and his son, and not to step foot around his property again, or he'll put him under some wet cement and make him part of the foundation of the next house he builds, never to be seen again.
Hell yeah.
That is some big dick energy, and I loved it. Jay runs to his car and peels out of the driveway, driving away as fast as he can. Pike goes upstairs and strips to the shower and finally gives in to the fantasy that's been in his head. Him and Jordan together.
I shake my head, whispering against her lips, "I'm not for you. Some other man's going to. We can't. I can't stop," she whimpers. "Please don't make me stop." Her tits stand out at me and her hips roll in and out.
They stand out.
Shut! And she's the sexiest goddamn thing I've ever seen. Fuck yes. Fine. I finally growl and fall back to the bed, still gripping her hips as the ridge of my cock rubs against her. "Give your cunt what it wants," she mews, closing her eyes, and plants her hands back on my knees and takes what she wants from me. I squeeze my cock for dear life. Why? Feeling her jutting hips in my hands, and I shoot, jerking harder and harder as I spill. "Oh, fuck. Fuck," I yell. "Shit. Oh my god." I drop my head to the shower wall, the cum spilling out, and I slow my hand, the muscles burning as I release the rest.
I shoot!
Have either of you seen MacGruber?
No.
No.
The movie. Oh, fuck! There's a sex scene in it, and he's like, I'm gonna shoot!
Gross!
And that's what it reminds me of.
When he finishes coming, it wasn't enough. He doesn't think it'll ever be enough. Now he thinks he has to rent a freaking motel room and lock himself there for a week and beat it that entire time just to try to get her out of his system.
Oh, God. Gross.
Just a week of jerking it.
Yeah.
Feels like he has to beat it. Ew.
He tries to finish his shower and remembers that he's still missing his loofah.
Where's my loofah?
There's a potluck at Dutch's, and Jordan is cooking, and she's also brewing up a fat crush with Pike. Carter Hewitt, the guy that she was supposed to go tubing with today, is actually at this potluck. He had to cancel to go to this party with his parents because they were dragging him to it, so it kind of worked out because she didn't want to cancel to prove Pike right. When she saw him, he asked if she wanted to go to A&W because a bunch of people that they went to school with were meeting there, and she said that sounded fun, and she let Pike know. He was being a dick, and he said, "What are you, 5?
Honestly, that's what I was thinking, though. It's like, what group of 19-year-olds is like, "Are you guys going to go to A&W?
They're getting root beer floats.
You want to get a root beer float?"
She got close to Pike's ears and she said, "Do I have a curfew?" Dutch just laughed, and that only pissed Pike off more. She's at A&W and everything's fine, but all the people here that she just can't relate to, it's just not the vibe. She calls Cam, her sister, and she asks if she can come pick her up. They pull up to the house, and there's a red convertible Mazda in the driveway behind Pike's truck that belongs to April Lester. And Jordan's like, "What the fuck?
Slut!"
She's thinking that if she walks into him fucking April, that she might not be able to hold it together. That she's gonna burst into tears or start screaming. She's like, "I'm gonna have a bitch fit.
I'm gonna have a BF.
I'm gonna have a BF.
He better not be fucking a woman his age."
Wait, you like them 20 years older? Fuck! They're obviously playing some type of card game when they walked in because she hears April say that if she gets the black one, she's gonna do this. She obviously can't see anything, but she hears Pike say, "I think that's if I win." She's like, "He knows I'm about to be home at any time, and he's basically about to fuck this girl. He thinks I'm a kid. I'm about to show him some childish stuff." So she opens up the washer and dumps her entire root beer float into the bin, paper cup and all, and starts the machine. And then she opens up the dryer, pulling all of his shit out, and then slams the door too. And then she goes up to her room, pulls out her boombox, and then puts in her like cassette tape and turns it all the way up, puts on a tiny pair of short shorts and then a crop top, and then brings her boombox to the kitchen island, and then she's just sitting there waiting for Pike to come up.
That's weird as fuck.
You're doing too much. The honestly, the root beer float thing, what is wrong with you?
I know. You wash your laundry in that too.
I know. Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Pike comes up the stairs and stops the music. Jordan's like all bitchy and she's like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know anyone was here." April says hi to Jordan, and Jordan Lee like immediately gives her not 1 second of the day, and April's like, I'm gonna go.
This is weird.
Yeah, she's like, this is weird as fuck.
Once she's gone, Pike's like, sorry if that was awkward. We just got here. Jordan's like, it's fine. It's your house. Just like being bitchy and like.
I feel like she's being like, you know, when you're mad and your significant other asks you if you're mad and you're like,
so no. Passive aggressive.
I'm fine.
Why? Why are you asking?
He's like, well, I don't think it's fine if you were slamming stuff and blaring your music. You seem pretty irritated. And she realizes that she's falling for him and she wants to have him all to herself. So she says she would think that he would at least have some damn taste. And she gets up and she goes to blow out the candle. But when she bends over, she's like arching her back and her little short shorts sink low and her red thong's showing. She's like, I can leave the candle burning if you want, but I know red is your favorite. And she's like teasing him. And he's like, tread carefully, Jordan. I have a lot of steam to blow off and you just ruined my night. She said, this kid is the reason it's ruined, isn't it? And he tells her to go to her room. And she says, happily, I have a vibrator up there with bigger balls than you. And he lifts her up over his shoulder and charges up the stairs and they crash into her bedroom. He dumps her on the bed and she's like, what are you going to do? Tuck me in? And he's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, she's insane.
I would be like, stop. Please stop. Like,
He's like, what is wrong with you tonight? She's basically like pulling a Meredith Grey here right now. And she's like, pick me. Choose me.
Love me.
I'm not kidding. She like does this whole little spiel where she's like telling him to pick her and choose her. And she's putting it all out on the table right here, right now.
Honestly, she's doing too much.
She's doing so much.
Normally in these cases, I'm like, man, the dude's fucking weird. This is weird. No.
They're both weird.
She's like, look at me. Fuck me. Look at me. Or I'm going to put a root beer float in your washer. I'm dying to taste you, I tell him, and to feel you. Every day it's getting harder and harder to ignore what my body wants. I wake up so wet, Pike. I move my mouth over to his, layering our lips. I want you to want me. I want to see you wanting me and getting off on me.
Oh. Okay, girl.
She's trying to bait him into taking her and saying that she wants him so bad.
I mean, Miss Girl, have you ever heard if he wanted to, he would? He doesn't want to.
He shouldn't want to.
Yeah.
Other men would take her if he doesn't. He still doesn't move. She basically bared herself so vulnerable to him, and she feels like she's breaking if he's not interested. But it's not until she says that maybe he has no idea what to do with her that he finally grabs her, bringing her face to face with him, saying that he might be out of practice, but he'll figure it out. And he kisses her and wraps her legs around him. Jordan asks if he has condoms, and they get to his room. They lock his door, and she's laying on his bed, and he asks what she wants his mouth on. She tells him that she wants him to kiss and suck on her cunt. He def was not expecting that to come out of her mouth, but he's like, oh my god, I just hit the lottery.
I suck on her clit first, stretching it into my mouth and going back in again and again, making her squirm and desperate to come. I lick her up and down, swirling my tongue around her nub and getting drunk on her scent and taste. After a minute, I lose control, though, and I'm kissing and nibbing her everywhere. I curve my arm under her thigh and grip it for support as I feed off her.
Ew!
Anyone got a spoon?
Fork?
Feed knife? Off her?
He's stretching her clit in his mouth.
I know. I kind of winced at that. Please don't.
Oh, like... Doing it as much for me as for her. Her back arches off the bed when I flick her with my tongue and she moans. Feed off of her. I just can't get that. I can't.
His sustenance.
His dinner.
Dessert. Yummy.
Supper.
Pussy casserole.
Beautiful. What a recipe.
She comes, and even though they know what they're doing is wrong, right here, right now, with just them, it's right. Just for this moment. Just the two of them and no one else. Pike takes his pants off and reaches for the condom, and before he can even get more words out, she takes his cock into her mouth. They start frickin', and it's intense and passionate, and literally everything they both ever thought of, and homegirl's not holding back in the noise department.
Oh, Pike, she cries right there. Yeah, my muscles are burning, my head is spinning, but I don't break pace because if I fucking die right now, this is how I want to go out. Ah, she moans. her body tensing and her breathing shaking. She falls silent and then she throws her head back and cries out, "Oh God." I kiss her hard, seeing her come again enough to send me over the edge. I thrust hard, squeezing my eyes shut and spilling, diving deep inside her again and again as the orgasm racks through my body and exhaustion and euphoria set in at the same time. White hot heat streams from my thighs and my cock pulses. And everything about her is heaven. Everything feels like it's the first time. That's your girl.
Yeah, your little girl.
That's your little girl, baby.
Your little girl.
Immediately after sex, Jordan's like, "You didn't kiss her, did you?" He reassures her that he didn't. And she reassures him that with Carter, she didn't. And they fall asleep together in his bed. The next morning, they have a quickie morning sesh. And he's getting ready for work. And he's thinking about how he feels like the luckiest man in the world. And Jordan makes him feel like everything he needs is under this roof. As he's about to leave for the day, his doorbell rings. And it's his ex, Lindsay, Cole's mom. She barges right in his house. Immediately, she knew that he just had sex. And it's a very high suspicion that it was with Jordan since there's no other cars in the driveway. And she's the only one that's there.
Uh-oh.
She's like, "Did you know that your son quit his job 3 days ago? And why is he not living with you? Why is he living with this new random girl? And why is his ex-girlfriend living under your roof? And why did it look like you just had sex? Riddle me that." And she's a fucking bitch.
Those are valid questions, though.
They are.
Yeah.
They get in an argument about how she uses Cole for his money, and then she slaps Pike across the face, and he tells her to get out of his house. And as she walks away, she just smirks and looks up the stairs to where Jordan is sleeping, and all of the lovey-dovey feelings that he just had earlier are now completely gone, because she will tear Jordan up, and there's no way he's putting her through that. He just wished that he had Jordan longer than 7 hours. Pike asked her to be home by 5, so she was, and now it's after 7, and he's still not there, and she's like, "Seriously, where is he? He's never late." She tries to call him, but he doesn't answer. And she also doesn't want to come off desperate. But at this point, she's worried something happened, because when she called him, it went to voicemail. She looked at his contacts on the fridge and she dialed Dutch's number. And he tells her that they closed up shop 2 hours ago and that he went out to the bar with a few guys from work. She feels used at this point because they just had sex and he's immediately blowing her off. And she's like used to being brushed to the side by men. So instead of crying, she gets very spiteful. She remembers what today is and calls Cam, her sister, and tells her that she feels like she wants to see her very first wet t-shirt contest. Pike gets home at 9 and he knows that she is probably pissed. After seeing everything that she had ready for a night in, when he found the house completely empty, he gets anxious. He called her and she surprisingly answered. There's a loud background and she told him that she's out with friends. He tries apologizing, saying that he was at work, and she stops him right then and there and she was like, "No, I knew you were at Red." And she doesn't wait, not anymore, and that she'll be home later, and hung up. He stood there dumbfounded, but then it sunk in what he heard in the background of the call, the wet t-shirt contest being announced. He was about to leave to go after her, but Cole was standing there about to come in the house. He tries catching up with Cole, and Cole tells him that he quit his job because he got a new one, a legal one. It's with full benefits, and Pike asked if he could come back to the house and he could find a different living arrangements for Jordan. Cole just says that with his new job, he might be able to find a new place of his own. And he sounded really excited, like he's actually doing really good. He asked Pike nervously if he'd get a tattoo with him next weekend, and it hit Pike like right in the feelers, because he's like, "My son wants to hang out with me, like he wants to do things with me."
Yeah.
And I just fucked his girlfriend.
I know.
Pike gets to the hook and sees a line of girls on stage getting drenched with water and barely their clothes. A group of women are trying to drag Jordan on stage. She's laughing but shaking her head saying no. Someone unzips her sweatshirt and she's wearing a silk lingerie, the one that Cam got her, and they pour water all over her, and now it's completely see-through. She's standing there frozen for a second, and Pike is so fucking angry at these women, and before he can march up there, Jordan just runs off stage. She's down the hall towards the bathroom when she looks up and her eyes meet Pike's, and she immediately goes on defense saying that she doesn't need crap from him, and before she can finish her sentence, he takes her head in his and kisses her, and he doesn't care who sees.
Oh my god.
He walks them back and more into the hallway and around the corner. He apologizes and he tells her that he can't lose Cole, and she says that she knows, so he has to lose her. He admits to her that he's falling for her and that he needed time to think. And she asked him what he had figured out with all this thinking. He said that he can put off feeling guilty till tomorrow.
Oh.
That's not how that works, but okay.
No.
He tells her that he knows Mick, the owner of the hook, wants to hire her, and that he doesn't want her to work there. She tells him that she doesn't need his permission. He gets a little cocky about it, and he's like, "You're a good girl. You don't have what it takes to work here."
That'd make me want to work there even
more. Right? Yeah. I'd be like, "Give me an application."
Yeah.
She kind of sees it as a challenge. And she's like, also, I'm not a girl. I'm a woman. They get to the house and Jordan goes upstairs to change into her bathing suit because they were like, let's just go swimming. And Pike is downstairs turning on the pool lights where he gets a FaceTime from Jordan. Jordan's in her little shell bikini and she's teasing Pike and she undoes her bathing suit top and she starts trying to seduce him to prove to him that she's not a silly little girl.
This part was so insane.
Then she straddles the rounded corner of the desk and she starts humping it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Cute. Hot.
Pike starts watching her dry hump a desk when he's on the other side of her door. And since she's locked him out, she's about to come and he's about to break her door down.
Like the fucking Kool-Aid man. I'm gonna make you come.
He wants her to come with him, but instead she just gets off herself and she makes him watch over FaceTime.
You like it? She taunts. You like when I play with myself for you? Baby, I rise from the couch. I need her. I like you watching, she groans. Am I being good now? I don't take my eyes off her as I climb the stairs. I wish there were 10 more of you watching me, she says, wanting me. If there were any more of me, she'd have a huge problem tonight. That's scary. Pike, I'm so wet. You could slide right into me. My dick jerks and pulses. I reach her door, twist the handle. You like it? She pumps faster. I'm so hot and wet for you. The door's locked and I jiggle the handle, dying to get inside. Jordan, I call. My patience non-existent. Open the door.
Open the door. I'm gonna throw rocks through your window, you dumb whore.
Oh, Pike. Oh, God. I look down at the screen again, seeing her hair damn near touching her ass as she throws her head back and fucks the desk. God, her ass. More, 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 she whimpers. I'm coming. Oh, God, yes. Jordan, shit. I yank at the door, ready to knock it down. Open the door.
Open the door!
Open the door! I wanna fuck!
I wanna see!
As she fucks the desk.
Yeah, she's just fucking a desk.
And he's like, yeah, this is normal.
She has a vibrator. Why are you fucking the desk?
I know.
So she said that she didn't want to use her vibrator because she likes humping the desk more because she likes being in control.
You can be in control of a vibrator.
You're the one controlling the vibrator. It's in your hand.
She was wearing bikini bottoms at first. And then, like, she pulled down her bikini bottoms and started fucking the desk far from.
What the fuck?
You never looked at a desk and been like, I want to fuck that.
You see this corner of my desk? I'm going to fuck it later.
Don't take this girl to Office Depot. She's going to embarrass you.
I just picture her at IKEA just like touching the rounded corner. She's like, is that Sear?
Oh, yeah.
This is the desk. This is the desk I want. This corner.
She just rubs on every single one to test it out.
Just does like a little drive-by rub. Yeah. No, that one won't do.
All the employees are like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh my God, this girl's here. She likes to fuck our desks.
When she's done, he tells her to open the door. And she says that she'd like to, but the dance is over and no one's allowed to touch the girls. And then winks at him and says, night, sugar. And turns all of her lights off and hangs up and leaves him with a raging heart on.
That would piss me off. Right off.
I loved it. The next day, Dutch calls Jordan's cell and he's like, did anything happen? Like, what's going on? She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, Pike is in the literal worst mood ever. Today's been a shit show. And he's like, giving you a heads up. Maybe it's best to steer clear. She's like, yikes, got it. Thanks for the heads up. And she's like low-key smiling because she knows that it's all because of her little thing last night.
He didn't get any punani.
No punani. Pike pulls in the driveway and immediately tells her to get ready because he's had all day to think about what he wants to do with her and she's excited.
Pulling down my panties, he grips me where my thigh meets my hip and guides his cock to my entrance. Once it's crowning me.
I know.
It's crowning. He pulls my hips back to him and I'm sliced in two, gasping and shuddering as his dick slides deep inside me. Oh my God, I whimper, my head dipping because I'm shaking so hard. He doesn't give me any time to recover and all I can do is hang on as he holds me tight in his fists and fucks me. I thought it was saying for a second that he was fisting
I know.
Her, I was like, whoa! He said, this is how fucking mad I am.
after they get done fucking, Pike is literally still inside her as the front door is open and Cam walks in the house yelling Jordan's name. Jordan's like, what the hell, Cam? Do you not knock anymore? And she's like, girl, I was knocking and I rang the doorbell. Like,
you guys were busy.
I saw both cars, so I knew you were home. They were able to put their clothes on, but they both looked so disheveled. And Pike's like, so I'm going to start grilling. Like, let them go. Cam, like, looks at Jordan and she's like, oh my God. Cam, of course, is happy for her sister, but she's like wary at the same time. And she's like, I just want you to be careful. Like, you're young, you're hot. He's old and stable, but like, I don't want you to get your heart broken. Like, maybe it's just a fling.
Fair.
And she kind of like sobers her for a second and she's like, no, this is like the real thing, sister. It's the following Thursday and her car is nearly done thanks to Pike and Dutch constantly working on it. Jordan and Pike decide to take a shower while Dutch is literally still downstairs working on her car. Pike's phone was ringing. It's Lindsay. So Dutch goes in the bathroom and drops his phone off. And he's like, so, where's Jordan? And Pike's like, how am I supposed to know?
As she's like in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And he's like, right. Well, when you guys are done showering together, tell her not to forget to pick her clothes up off the ground. So now his bestie knows that he's obviously sleeping with her.
Oh, shit.
They're laying in bed together and both are barely keeping it together, trying not to say I love you to each other. And as they're both kissing, Pike gets a call and it's Cole. When the call's over, he tells Jordan that tomorrow they're going to have some big fish to fry. It's the next day and Cole and his mom are at the front door. And Lindsay fucking sucks. She's the worst. She seriously walked into his house and demands that she gets a room. The spare room, which is Jordan's room. They're staying there for 2 nights while her house is getting some work done. Pike literally offered to pay for her to stay in a hotel room, and Cole like guilt tripped him to have his mom stay at the house. Like a fucking weirdo.
Ew. He's like doing a parent trap.
Yeah, pretty much.
He said, I'm gonna get my mom and dad back together.
He tried saying that Jordan's room is her room and that she either can have the basement or the couch. And Lindsay put up a fight saying Jordan slept with Cole so many times. What's 2 days? And Pike didn't want to keep making a scene and making it suspicious. So he just said to Jordan that there's extra blankets for the couch. And of course, Jordan was like, no, it's fine. I'll sleep in Cole's room. And that just made Pike pissed.
That's so weird. What a weird situation to be in.
Pike's laying in his bed and feels a dip. And he's like, Jordan, but it's fucking late. Lindsay saying that she's grown up and they could be a family now and she could live in his house and she knows that Cole would want that, that he could financially support her. And he just laughs and he's like disgusted with her and he just grabs a cigar and leaves. He makes his way out back, seeing Jordan at the pool with her feet in the water and she's wearing a silk cami to sleep in. And Pike is like instantly jealous because he doesn't want her sleeping in that, in the bed with Cole. And she's like, get over it. You literally told me to go sleep with him. I'm in this situation because of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing that he hasn't seen before anyways. And she's mad at him because he had a chance to tell them that the sleeping arrangements wouldn't be an issue because she could just sleep in his room, but he didn't. And they're gonna have to face the heat sooner or later if they want to be together. She doesn't have to be a secret and she wants to go on dates and kiss him and like wants to have a life with him. And she can't if everything has to be a secret. He just says that it's too soon, it's too early, and he doesn't want to jeopardize his relationship with his son if they don't work out. But that's not good enough for her. And she's come to the realization that it's not going to work out between them and maybe that Cam was right and this whole thing was just a fling.
But also, I agree with him. You guys literally just broke up way too soon. And him and Cole are starting to get along better.
Yeah. But she's like, it's love.
Be a secret.
I love him.
Be a secret, bitch.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta be.
But you know what? It's because she's a child.
I mean, yeah, her frontal lobe is not fully developed yet.
She tells him how he's not worth it and he pleads with her to give him a chance and she's like, fine, tell him now. I will go with you and we can tell him together. And then tomorrow we can move forward because the hard part will be done. And he just couldn't. He's like, I can't do that. And she just looks him dead in the eyes and she's like, it's crazy how fast it happens, how I absolutely feel nothing for you.
Wow, rough.
Yeah.
God.
Jordan's been at her job for 12 hours straight now. She doesn't want to be anywhere else, and she also doesn't really have anywhere else to go. Pike's called her cell numerous times, and he just called her work, but Shell covered for her and told him that she wasn't there. She decides to go to Pike's place to go grab some of her stuff, and then she was planning to go to her sister's house. But when she pulls up to Pike's place, it's clear that Cole's having a party. Most of the people are kept out of the house, and she tries to sneak into the house undetected because she doesn't want to talk to Cole or Pike, and she just goes into her room, leaving all the lights off. She's grabbing some of her stuff when a voice starts talking behind her, and it's Jay.
Ew.
She grabs a pair of scissors from her desk, and he wants to hurt her. Like, you could tell that there's, like, anger behind his eyes, but he sees the scissors that she has in her hands, and he eyes her up. She tells him to get out of her room and to never talk to her again, and he's, like, seething, but he backs away and he leaves her room.
What a fucking creep.
She packs her stuff and is ready to go, and then she runs into Pike. He's begging her don't, and she's like, don't go or don't tell Cole. What is it? And he says that they were always on borrowed time, and that because of their age difference, it would never work out between them. But he doesn't want her to go, and that he wants to spend time with her, and he likes having her around. And Jordan asks if he loves her. He doesn't answer her. Then she says that he has no courage at all, so he'll be nothing more than a waste of her time. Stupid Jay comes out from the kitchen overhearing their conversation, and he's like, oh, so this is your kink, huh, Jordan? And Pike charges for him.
Get him.
They barrel to the ground, and Cole comes up, and he's like, what the fuck's going on? Jay's still antagonizing Pike and says, don't worry, we can share the little whore. And Cole's confused, and Jay turns to Jordan, telling her to tell Cole how cozy her and his dad have been without him. And Jay said soon Jordan will be working at the Hook, and he'll buy her ass, and that's a promise. And that's when Cole punched Jay so hard and knocked a tooth out. And once Jay was gone, Cole put together what Jay said, and he turned to Jordan. He's like, is that true? And Jordan couldn't look him in the eyes. And when Pike tried to explain it, he just said, oh, fuck you, and walked away.
I would be so disgusted if I knew that I just fucked someone that my dad also fucked. Not just, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, you're Eskimo brothers with your dad.
Jordan texted Cole apologizing, saying it wasn't out of revenge and that it just happened. He texted her back asking her if she loved him, and she just turned her phone off. She goes to her work to get her last paycheck, and Shell pulls out a wad of cash and puts it in her bag, more than she knows that she worked for. She tells Shell that she knows it's wrong to run, but she just needs a fresh start, and she wants to be in a place where no one knows her, and she can just start over, and the longer she has her foot on the gas, the further she'll be from who she was. She doesn't tell anyone that she's leaving, not even Cam. Pike pulls up to Lindsay's house wanting to talk to Cole. It's been the literal worst 24 hours he's ever had, and Lindsay tells him that he left this morning for the Navy, and he's like, the Navy? Surely I would know if my son joined the military. She was like, he was waiting to tell you, but I'm sure something interrupted it. He's at boot camp for 8 weeks, and he feels like absolute shit, because now he can't talk to his son.
Yeah.
He backs out of stupid Lindsay's driveway and makes it across town to try to talk to Jordan now, since he hasn't seen or heard from her either. He pulls up to the Hook and tries to talk to Cam just to make sure that Jordan's okay, and she is not having it. She's like completely ignoring him. Or she was, until he puts a $100 bill down and he says, I just want 5 minutes of your time. I don't even want to dance from you. She turns around and knees him in the balls, and she tells him to stay away from her sister. And by the time he can stand again, Cam is gone, and so is his $100.
Hell yeah. Get it, bitch.
Dutch kind of reels him in, saying that he's got to get it together because she's young and full of life and their age gap is huge. And what if he is holding her back? Can he really see himself marrying her? It's really got him thinking about everything, and especially now because it's been 9 days since he's seen or heard from Jordan. So he walks past her room, inhales her perfume one last time, and closes the door and declares this time it's time for him to move on. It's 2 months later, and he is now a DIY girly. He's aced all home projects for his house, and everything looks totally adorable. He's made like a cute little wooden picnic table with like a little beer holder in the middle, a fire pit, literally anything that you want to make your house look cute and homey. He's made it.
Go off. Good for him.
He grabs a box from his garage and he sees Cole standing there. And Cole just graduated Navy boot camp yesterday, and he saw his dad there, and they were finally able to sit down and talk about everything. Cole has a much better head on his shoulders now, and after the conditioning and guidance, that was like exactly what he needed in his life. He asks about Jordan, and Pike tells him that he hasn't seen or heard from her since that night. He tells him that he has checked in with Cam and that she says that Jordan is safe and fine, but that's all that she'll give him. While Cole was away at boot camp, he's had a lot of time to reflect on his life, and he remembers all of the sacrifices that his dad's made from him throughout his years, and he told him that he knows he loves him. And when he saw him at his graduation, he wanted to still be mad at him, and he was kind of aggravated that he wasn't. He's not really sure how he's okay with all of this, but he knows that he loves him. He asks if he still loves Jordan, and Pike just says that he knows that she's just better off. They go inside to watch a game, and they order pizza, and Cole just turns around and said, "Dad, no one's better off without you."
Oh.
They finally got their father's son tattoos. Cole got an anchor, and then Pike got a candle for his birthday girl, always wanting to blow out candles like it's her birthday.
That's creepy as fuck.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, "I haven't talked to her in over 2 months, and I got a tattoo for her."
What the fuck?
Pike had a dream that night that he gets Jordan pregnant, and instead of him being mad or sad, he's literally so happy. He realizes that he's so in love with her, and when he wakes up, he realizes that they really do have something special, and that she left before he even had a chance to tell her that he loved her. He goes into her rooms and opens up her dream jar that she has, and he read all of the dreams that she made. Everything that she had in there, he realized that he could give her. He has tears in his eyes after realizing that he made a huge mistake letting her slip away.
You don't know what you have until you lose.
But also, right? I don't understand why everyone's so mad at Pike.
Yeah, what the fuck?
He just didn't want to, like, traumatize his son. There was just no winning in the situation.
No. And if you think about it, I feel like Jordan instigated most of their interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to be like, no. And she was like, yeah.
So he goes to Grounders, which is Jordan's work, and he sees that Cam's working there, probably picking up some of Jordan's shifts. And she tells him that she's not Jordan's keeper. It's been 2 months and he still looks like shit. If he wants to find her so bad, she's in Eastern Virginia, a 12-hour drive, and that she's working at some motel. She won't give him the name of the hotel and told him that if he wants her bad enough, he'll have to find her.
Happy hunting.
I bet he's gonna find her.
Jordan's working at the Blue Palms, which is the hotel that she's working at. As she's talking to her friend Danny, Danny welcomes someone to the Blue Palm, and it's Pike asking if Jordan works there. Jordan's heart is going 1,000 miles a minute, and she straightens her spine and faces Pike. And Danny's like, "I'm gonna go check on my grandma." He tells her he thought he was doing what was best, and he thought he was taking advantage of her because she's young and beautiful and so happy and hopeful despite everything she's been through. He tells her that he loves her, and he's going to want her for the rest of his life, and he tried to stay away, but it will never happen again, and that he needs her, and he loves her, and she's crying now, a full-blown sob.
I love you.
Danny comes over, and she gives them a room on the house, and their neighbors are having loud sex, and he's like, "We can take them," and they start having loud sex. It's 1 year later, and final week just ended, and they're four-wheeling, and he tells her that he has a present for her and pulls out a little black box. It's an engagement ring. They're talking about wanting to do a little destination wedding in Mexico with them and their closest friends and family. Cole slowly but surely came around in everyone in their life that's closest to them except their relationship. Pike asks if she wants kids, and she says that she wants at least one if he's okay with that. And he says yes, but he'd like to wait at least until she's graduated so she can accomplish everything that she wants in life.
You're gonna die before then.
He's not that old.
He's gonna be retired by the time his kid graduates preschool.
Well, he can stay home.
It's the epilogue. It's 9 years later. She's 4 months along with their second kid. Their first kid's name was Jake. They're laying in bed together, and he's caressing her swollen belly. And she gets up to blow out a candle, and she makes a wish, and he asks what she wished for. And she says, "I asked for the same thing, and every day it comes true." The end.
Wow. What a story.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I think I give it 3.
Oh.
3.
I thought with, like, the older man, you'd be like, yeah. But, yeah, I get it.
You know, some of them, they're done great. Some of them. This one was great, too. But the sex scenes just weren't it for me.
Do you think Pike is sexy?
I do, actually. Because yeah. You know what? He's just an honest, kind, hardworking man.
Mm-hmm. Who happens to like 19-year-olds.
Just one.
And he tried not to. He tried. Would you trade places with Jordan?
No.
You don't want to fuck Andrew's dad?
No.
That's a big fat no.
No, that's the no for me, dog. Her situation just didn't sound easy at all.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Also, she's kind of a brat.
She was.
The whole time.
He liked it, though.
He didn't.
All right, so next week we're telling Riley all about Violet Veins by Paige A. Cook. And she actually sent us an arc of this to read and to cover on the podcast. So shout out to Paige.
Yes. We're going to have Riley look at the cover and give us her best guess on what this one may be about.
Okay. So
I can't tell if it's humans or not. They look, one of them looks like an elf of some sort, but it's a woman sitting on this man's leg on his lap. She looks to be maybe a human. He is not going to be human. She's going to travel to his world. She's going to get into some sort of predicament. He's going to have to help her, and oh no, they're going to fuck.
Oh no, I hate when that happens.
There might be some friggin'.
Dang it.
But yeah, how'd I do?
It's not close, but I mean, it's not far, but it's not close.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo!
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.